The second reading is from Hebrews chapter 2, verses 4 through 18. Jesus shared human nature fully, so that his death might be for all humans a liberation from slavery to death's power. Here the writer uses the image of priestly service in a temple as a way of describing the life and saving death of the Lord Jesus. He is the high priest who offers his life on behalf of his brothers and sisters. A reading from the Hebrews. Since, therefore, the children share flesh and blood, Jesus himself likewise shared the same things, so through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is, the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by fear of death. For it is clear that he did not come to help angels, but the descendants of Abraham. Therefore, he had to become like his brothers and sisters in every respect, so that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God, to make a sacrifice of anointment for the sins of the people. Because he himself was tested by what he suffered, he is able to help those who are being tested. The word of God, word of life.
Grace and peace to you from God our Creator and from our Lord and Savior Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen. In keeping with the adult forum programming for the month, our discussion of Paul the Anarchist, led by Dr. Matt Whitlock, every sermon preached from this pulpit will treat one aspect of Paul's teaching. Today, I'm going to share with you my problem with Paul. I have a problem with Paul. Only it's not just with Paul. It's any author of Scripture who says or seems to say not only that there is an edifying reason for suffering, but that God is the cause of it. That God makes us suffer, as it were, for our own good, to build our character, to teach us a lesson, to humble us, or to increase our faith. That disease, affliction, hardship, or calamity is God's way of getting your attention. If this is what Paul is saying, then I have a problem with Paul. Now, here's the problem. It sure seems like this is what Paul is saying. Consider Romans 5. Paul writes, "Let us boast not only in our hope of sharing the glory of God, let us also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope." Suffering, in other words, builds character. It has a reason or a purpose, and that purpose is presumably sourced in God. Or again, consider 2 Corinthians 12. "Therefore," Paul writes, "to keep me from being too elated, a thorn was given me in the flesh." That thorn, scholars speculate, could well have been epilepsy, malaria, or blindness. In other words, Paul is saying here, it would seem, keep me from relying on my own talents or abilities and thus becoming arrogant. God does this by afflicting me. Or again, consider Hebrews 2, our second reading for the day, one historically at least attributed to Paul by the church. Jesus here is tested by what he suffered, according to the author, to help those after him who, because of persecution, were tempted to turn away from God or to lose the confidence of their faith, just as he was tempted. Suffering, in other words, has, in the case of Jesus, an edifying purpose. God caused Jesus to suffer, to help those who suffer after him and in his name. If this is what Paul is saying, I have a problem with Paul. Well, okay, you might be saying to yourself, you have a problem with suffering. Or more specifically, you have a problem with Paul and what he says regarding suffering and its source in God. But Peterson, you have lots of problems. You quote Star Wars in your sermons way too much. You are neurotic, critical, and way too self-deprecating. Do you notice the irony there? You have a problem with everything, including yourself. Why should it matter to me that you have a problem with Paul? Well, I might respond, what matters to you? Does God matter to you? I mean, you're sitting here in a church on Super Bowl Sunday. God must mean something to you. So if your answer is yes, if God does matter to you, then let me turn the tables and ask you this. How can you trust in a God who willfully and deliberately hurts you to teach you a lesson? This, after all, is how many people read Paul. My question to you is whether this version of God is truly worthy of your faith. Is this the kind of God in whom you can place your trust, especially in times of difficulty? A God who has you walking on eggshells, one where you're never quite sure whether he'll lash out at you to humble you, to build your character, to put you in your place, or to teach you a lesson. A God that refines and purifies you, to borrow language from our first reading, by harming you so that, broken down and dying, you'll be pleasing to the Lord. Wow. Dear friends in Christ, the good news I submit is that this, in fact, is not the God about whom Paul is testifying. Indeed, none of the passages cited specifically attribute suffering, your suffering and mine, to God. In Romans 5, Paul simply offers a reflection on the good that can, in some cases, come from suffering when we look back on it. That we can, to use modern language, learn from our mistakes. But Paul never says here that God causes suffering for this to occur, even though God can turn and transform suffering into a good, the clearest expression of which is what God does with the cross, taking an instrument of brutality and torture and turning it into a path to life. Likewise, in 2 Corinthians 12, while Paul does talk regarding the thorn in the flesh he receives, he attributes it not to God, but to Satan. Jesus, likewise, in Luke 13, attributes suffering not to God, but to Satan. As we heard this morning, Satan is one of those powers, according to Paul, responsible for subjecting us, for hurting us, harming us. Granted, God permits suffering, but God in these texts is never the cause of it. Finally, in Hebrews 2, a sermon, not a letter, that the early church leaders like Origen, Clement, and Tertullian attributed to a follower of Paul due to differences in style and theology. One of these theologians believed actually that Paul wrote the letter originally in Hebrew and that the gospel writer of Luke translated it from Hebrew into the Greek. The point being that someone else, presumably close to Paul, wrote this. But even there, with all its differences, we have no indication that those who suffer persecution for Christ's sake do so because it's God's will. The only suffering, it would seem, God wills, or better allows, or better anticipates, is the suffering of his own beloved Son, Jesus Christ. There, and only there, for the author of Hebrews, does suffering have a purpose from God, namely, to help us, the people who suffer, by way of Jesus's example. As David DeSilva of Ashland Theological Seminary writes, God charted out Jesus's path specifically so that he would become fully sympathetic to his followers and thus be fully committed to helping them respond in their own struggles faithfully to God as Jesus had. Jesus faces his trials, his tribulations, by trusting in God and moving forward. God helps us through Jesus and his example to do the same. You are not alone, God says to us in Jesus. I am with you, and my desire, as made known in Jesus, is not to hurt you, but to help you and heal you by walking with you. This, God continues, is why I fell into being, why I became lesser than the angels, why I became incarnate, why I assumed the flesh. I did it to walk with you. This, God says, is my gospel, my good news for you. Your struggles are not your own. Your struggles are mine too. Yes, it's true. I sometimes have a problem with Paul. But way more often, I have a problem with people who misread Paul. People who attribute to Paul things he does not say, like God is the cause of our suffering. Of course, this is not a new problem. Writing toward the end of the first century, the author of 2 Peter remarks, quote, "So also our beloved brother of Paul wrote to you according to the wisdom given him." There are some things in his letters hard to understand, which the ignorant and the unstable twist to their own destruction as they do the other scriptures. Good and gracious God, may you protect us from words that harm us, from those who twist Paul to their destruction and ours by indicating that God is responsible for our suffering instead of claiming that God is there to be with us and heal our suffering. May you remind us, in short, and this is your takeaway, that when in doubt, God came into this world not to harm and hurt, but to help and to heal. Amen.